time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We're going to start the day off with a former Caldwell County Tiger player and coach. And Earl, I guess you've done just about everything. Earl Stevens is with us this morning in the studio. And Earl, thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd.
Absolutely, yeah. You were coach of the 1960, or player, quarterback on the 1963 Caldwell County Tiger football team, and that team, along with the 1998 squad, is going to be honored Friday night out at Tiger Stadium.
Yes, it's nice that the school is going to have us host at halftime back in the summer, the 707 over in Webster County. Coach Riley came up to me and said that he Mr. Kukiko had been talking about it being 60 years and wanted to know what if I'd help try to round up some of the guys, and I told him I would, and I've tried to contact what seniors are left, and then I asked William Fralick to do that same thing for the juniors and Johnny Jaggers to help with the sophomores. So we'll see. I think we've got about 10 teammates coming back for tomorrow night.
Well, that 1963 team must have been a heck of a football team.
We were pretty good, and the 62 team was pretty good too, yeah. But we had a couple of injuries, and I missed a couple games, and Ed Settle missed a game, I think we lost two games that year. But the 63 team with integration, with the addition of Scotty Edwards and Marvin Copeland, and, of course, Greg Smith played. Now, the funny thing about Greg, Coach Perry, the basketball coach, didn't want him to play. Mm. And Greg wanted to be a part of the team. That's the kind of guy he is. But anyway, Coach Clayton had to promise Coach Perry that he wouldn't get him hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was an interesting year. We had a good year.
Well, you mentioned the 62 team being really good. It's like the 98 team. A lot of people say the 97 team was just as good or maybe even better than the 98 squad that won state.
Right, right. It's funny how that works. You have a run of good athletes and good players and talented kids and small schools. Sometimes you run through those dry spells.
Yeah, Fred Clayton was your head coach. What did he do that made him such a good football coach?
Well, he had some good athletes.
Yeah, that always helps, right?
He was a good offensive mind. He kept everything in his head. Today you see people with all the clipboards and wristbands and all kinds of notes written down. Of course, things are a lot more complicated today, too.
Yeah.
But Fred had kept everything in his head, and it worked out well for him.
When somebody asks you about the 1963 team, where do your thoughts go to first?
Well, of course, integration was one of the great things that happened to us. And the bad thing was, of course, the assassination of President Kennedy. And we were in Pep Chapel that afternoon when it happened. And, of course, Lafayette had already made the trip down here, and the field was terribly wet, and had rained a lot. But anyway, both the coaches got together and decided, instead of going back and postponing, and didn't know what to do, so decided to go ahead with the game.
I guess that was kind of a tough game to go out and try to play then.
It was, but once you went through the door inside the walls of Butler Stadium, you start playing, and of course we were 17, 18 year old kids, 16, 17, 18. And you don't realize at that age the repercussions maybe of what had actually happened. I know we were, when they announced it in Pep Chapel, everybody was upset and talking about it and that kind of stuff, but The fun, another thing, interesting thing, Bob Swisher, who was a sports person at Paducah TV, talking about people saying that, you know, if it had been a dry field and if it hadn't been for the assassination, that it would have been a different game. So we beat them 25-0.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, it probably would have been a 25 different game, since they'd probably beat them 50-0.
Yeah. Well, I'd heard that story several times, and that's always funny, but it always seems to me like when people start talking about the 1963 team fans, they almost go more to that Lafayette game than they do the state championship game.
It was, of course, Lafayette was number one.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Mayo was number two, and we were number three in the state ranking, Lickinghouse.
Yeah.
And, of course, we beat them 25-0, and instead of us going to number one, I think Mayo went to number one, and Lafayette stayed at two, and we stayed at three. So no respect.
Yeah. Well, you guys got your respect, though, the next week.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
What do you remember about that Fort Thomas Highlands game?
Well, two or three things. Was Billy Janina running all over the field to pick up, you know, I bet he ran 100 yards to pick up 30 back and forth. And then the catches that Marvin made over the center to on that final drive. And then the final play, it was 4th and 4 on the goal line, and we called timeout. And over talking with Coach Yadonna, Coach Clayton, and Coach Davis, and Coach Clayton said, why don't we just kick a field goal? You know, that's a safe thing to do, because Tommy Atwood was a wonderful kicker and went to Western on a kicking scholarship. And I said, Coach, we've been practicing this 20 series all year long. We've never used it. Why don't we just run that and pitch it to Scotty? What that was, we had slots, people in the slot to the right, and then we put Pete in motion, and Scotty was – flanked out over the tackle, right tackle, and I just turned and pitched it to him. I watched it on a film the other day, and Larry Carlin had put all that stuff on thumb drive.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
Yeah. And then of course the rest is history. A couple good blocks, and then Scotty jumped into the end zone. Yeah. Great picture.
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure who got that. I don't know if that was a Courier Journal photographer or AP.
It may have been.
But that is a fantastic shot to have him leaping over those two guys into the end zone.
They got the ball and were moving a little bit, and Pete Moore intercepted, cut in front of a guy going down and out, and just caught one hand and brought it in, and then we ran the clock out.
Yeah. Well, when you went into the season, you mentioned 62 was a good year. Were you guys thinking, hey, maybe we could win state this year, or does that even –
didn't even occur to it. We just, of course, the state playoffs hadn't been going on maybe 3 years.
Yeah. It was 59, I think.
59 or 8. And didn't even think about it, really, until we got it going into the season, especially in 63. Of course, after we got beat by Tillman, and then we got beat by Hopkinsville. And, of course, after that, we just played it out. But in 63, once we started winning, got on a roll, I think after week 7, we didn't even hit. We'd go out in shells every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'd just go out in shells. And but it didn't really dawn on us till we got maybe to Lexington.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me anyway. Yeah. That's what we were about to try to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, defensively, that team must have been really, really good, because I think only one team all year scored more than once.
Paducah Tillman. Yeah, they. Yeah. We beat them 21-13, and that was one of those deals where Marvin comes through and catches one in a crowd.
Is that the one where he landed on his head and held on to the ball?
I got hit by the time I threw it.
So you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. Just throw it up and let Marvin go for it.
Well, how many of those guys on that 63 team went on to play college ball someplace? Maybe not all football, but a lot of them went to college.
Yeah, well, Kerry Curlin and Bill Henry Cartwright went to UK, played up there. Bill Henry was in the the drill that the guy got killed, broke his can't think of his name. When they had integrated too, they got the first few black kids that played, and but he was Bill Henry was involved in the drill, and then of course Kerry played up there for 4 years, and then Pete Moore of course went to Alabama with Bear Bryant after he transferred to Hopkinsville and won a state championship over there.
Now his father became superintendent over
there. No,
the, no, principal?
I think he was Willard Moore. They moved over there, and I think he just retired.
Oh, okay.
They just moved over there because they wanted Pete to get more exposure.
Oh, okay.
And I think the first day of practice, first day of contact over there, the story goes that Fleming Thornton, their Hoptown coach, said, "Well, we'll see if he can play." Huh. You know. So after you give him the ball and he runs over a couple people, he can play. Yeah.
Well, talking about the history of Tiger football, and it goes all the way back to 1911, we think, it seems like there's always been a Stevens on the team, even that very first team.
Yeah, my father and two or three uncles were on that team. I've got that picture at home.
Yeah.
And they were on the first football team. And then of course I played. My brother played, and he got hurt when he was a freshman and had a bad injury, and didn't play anymore. But then I played, and my son played. John H. played. He was a wonderful player. And then of course Jack, he did a great job with the team a couple years ago. Was very instrumental in them being as successful as they were. And now we got Eli and Drew, a junior and a freshman, on this team. And then I've got Jacob McDaniels. He's not playing this year, but chances are he will in the future. And then Bo Bashirs, in the Pee Wee now. So we'll be in the stands fretting about him. For a long time, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll be going to football games forever.
I've got a pass.
Well, you mentioned integration earlier, and not just football, but, you know, that was a big deal in basketball as well.
Oh, yes, we won the region.
Yeah.
And we beat McCleary County, I believe, in the first game, and then Breckinridge County beat us in the last second. We had beaten them down here. In the season, around Christmas time, I believe. And they didn't have – but Butch Beard was hurt or something, didn't sick or something. He didn't play in that game. But he played in the state tournament, and they held the ball for a long time. And I was on the bench at the time, and I can remember jumping up and screaming at the guys,
yeah.
Get the ball, foul somebody or something, we got to get it back. Mm. But anyway, they held it, and he made a shot kind of like Leitner did. And got fouled, and they beat us by three, I believe.
Yeah. Well, no coincidence that Princeton Dotson had won the region the year before. You guys pick up a lot of those guys and win it the next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Greg. And after we won the Fort Thomas game, we got up early the next morning, got on the bus, came back, and played Fredonia.
Oh, really?
And it was that Friday night. And, of course, Greg had been practicing, and he gets about 40.
Yeah.
And the first time I get in, I just grab it and start running with it because that's traveling. I forgot to put it down on the floor. And, of course, Scotty was a wonderful athlete and basketball player, and Marvin, of course, he was a wonderful player also.
Well, were you one of those guys that just played everything?
I played football and basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
We didn't have baseball. If it rained, you were done for a while.
Yeah.
And we may have played, 10 or 12 games. And then I was playing in a Twin States deal down at that other side of Benton, and slid into third base and broke my thumb, and missed much of the baseball season until we got in the regional tournament, and and was playing Paducah Tillman. And I played in those games, in tournament games. And then we got beat by Paducah in the finals of the region baseball.
Yeah. Well, baseball, just like football, kind of has a long history here, too.
Yeah, yeah. My daddy played, and uncles played. My brother played. Of course, we had a lot of good athletes. Mo Mowry, Ed Settle, Dickie McAllister. We all they started Little League in the early 50s. Mm-hmm. And Ed Settle and I started playing when we were 7 years old. We played 6 years in Little League.
Wow.
And the only ones to do that, yeah. Matter of fact. But our fathers, Mr. Settle is one of the ones that organized Little League ball. And, of course, the field out there is named after him. And I can remember going out there. We used to, when it started, we would play at the big field, and they just put a string up or tape up out in the outfield for a home run. And then when that – where the Settle field is now, it was a cornfield.
Yeah.
And we'd go in there after practice over that in the big field, and they'd – have a tractor and pull in a flatbed wagon, and we'd pull up corn stalks and throw it on there. Oh. Throw them to get them cleaned out. It was fun times.
Well, and you were a longtime head coach of the Tiger baseball team, and you guys were usually pretty good.
We were. We had run-ins with Livingston, and we was pretty much us and Livingston for the district title.
Yeah.
And Mike Riley down there, we were pretty good rivals. And then once we got to know one another and respect one another, we became pretty good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, football team's going to be honored Friday night. Tigers host Graves County out here at 7 o'clock, and they have a nice reception planned for you guys before the contest.
Yeah. First Bank is sponsoring a hospitality tent over by the dressing room. And we've got probably 10 or 12 teammates coming back, plus I've invited Miss Giordano and Miss Miss Davis, and Margaret said that Carol Clayton may come over and to represent the coaches. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be good to get back and talk to some of the guys again.
In your estimation, how has football changed over the years from when you first started watching, when you were little, when you played? I know you coached as well,
yeah.
So
they throw the ball a lot more than we threw it. I was lucky to have we'd have to throw it when we had to, I guess. Third down, but we were more, you know, options and traps and power plays and off tackle and that kind of stuff. But counters, we ran a lot of counters. Scotty in 63, that was the big play. We'd fake 45 trap and 27 counter, 26 counter, hit him coming back off tackle. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you'd have Kerry Carlin pulling, so that helped a lot.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning. I'm glad we're going to honor the team Friday night. I hope a lot of the guys get to come back.
And thanks for having us, and I appreciate the school system for putting this on for us and the First Bank for doing the hospitality team.
All right, thanks, Earl.
Thank you.
That's Earl Stevens. He was quarterback on the Caldwell County 1963 state champs. And again, the 63 team and the 98 team will be honored out here at Tiger Stadium Friday night. Stay with us. Frankie Brown is coming up next here on the show as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hi, this is Allie Coleman with First Southern National Bank here to share about our new Fab Lanes. We are excited that this new technology allows us to offer quicker transactions, extended hours, and shorter wait times for our customers. You can now access many banking features from the comfort of your car while a live teller delivers the same high level of exceptional customer service we've offered for the last 40 years. Come experience a new way to bank with us. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens,
congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Trice Hughes in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit TriceHughes.com. That's TriceHughes.com.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. From field to feedlot, if you need a tractor that can multitask as well as you do, then you need to visit H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville and check out a Case IH Farmall 100 A-Series tractor. These tractors are tough, versatile, and an excellent value. With four models available in cab or non-cab versions and two-wheel drive or optional mechanical front-wheel drive configurations, you're sure to find one that's right for your operation and budget. See H&R AgriPower for more details on Case IH Farmall 100 A-Series tractors.
Landmark of Catawba is in need of nurses and CNAs. They're paying very competitive wages, more than most facilities. Other benefits include sign-on bonus, daily pay if wanted, attendance bonus, extra shift bonus, and full-time employees are eligible for insurance. If you're interested in working in a home-like environment, taking care of very special people, bring resume or stop in to fill out an application. Landmark of Catawba is a rehabilitation and nursing center located at 1253 Lake Barkley Drive, Catawba, Kentucky.
Have you ever heard the proverb that bad things come in threes? Many of us can testify right now to that old proverb. Maybe the mower breaks down, the car won't start, and then the AC goes out. Yep, that would be a bad day. The good news is that ABC Finance can help turn any bad day right around fast. In less than an hour, you could have $500 to $15,000 ready and waiting so you can take care of whatever it is and get back to enjoying life.
This is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Savannah Seymour at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed and walk-ins are welcome. We can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
At ABC Finance, you're more than a credit score. Helping you get a handle on your finances is what we do best.
Learn more about us at abcfinanceonline.com and be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community information.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks to Earl Stevens for coming in and talking some football and other sports with us this morning. Volleyball action going on tonight at the Cab Gym. The Lady Tigers hosting Heritage Christian Academy of Hopkinsville. We'll have that for you right here on WPKY tonight. Home soccer for the girls. Lady Tigers hosting Graves County at Butler Stadium tonight. Guys soccer on the road at Graves County tonight. And it's apparently Graves County week because we'll play Graves County in football Friday night at Tiger Stadium. And, of course, we'll have that game for you right here on WPKY as well. Stay with us. Frankie Brown is in the studio with us, and we'll talk to him next as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 62 degrees, partly cloudy skies by this afternoon. It's going to be sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, low around 58. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 79. But back to right now, an overnight low of 62 degrees by this afternoon, sunny and 81 in western Kentucky.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Ready, set, honored lives with Caldwell's Medical Center Foundation and Morgan's Funeral Home. Strap up your running shoes. September 9th, join up at Lee S. Jones Park for a life-changing event. For only $25, you'll be part of a shotgun start at 8 a.m. Plus, you'll snag a commemorative t-shirt. Your every step contributes to making a difference. All proceeds benefit our community. Unleash your spirit at the Caldwell Medical Breast Cancer 5K. 7:30 a.m. is registration. See you at the race.
Hi, this is Lauren Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for joining us this morning. In the studio with us right now, we have Frankie Brown, and he's a member of the Kaawha County Football Hall of Fame Class of 2023. Frankie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, tell us about being a new Hall of Famer.
Well, it's kind of surprising, and I don't remember the date, but I got a message from Pat Gates, and he informed me that I was going to be inducted in this year's class. Yeah. And of course, he had a lot of good things to say. We got to texting back and forth, and he was telling me I was a true Tiger and and all of these things. But it's a good honor.
How long have you done the PA out at Tiger Stadium now?
I started in 1996, and I got to thinking about it the other day, and I really don't know who asked me. I'm guessing Pat Gates asked me. Yeah. If I would be interested in doing that, and I started doing it in 96, and I've just kind of been there ever since.
Yeah, that's quite a run.
I guess it is. You know, I don't really know anything about, you know, how long people do that. But kind of gotten in a little bit of a groove and kind of enjoy doing it. And it's a little different now that I'm out of the school system. When I was a teacher, I knew just about every player on the field. Yeah. For us. And it's a little bit more difficult now because I don't know as many of the players. I do know some of them because I've coached some baseball at earlier ages, but most of that's about to run out as far as knowing the kids and coaching them sometime in their life.
Well, talking to you is a little like talking to Earl because you guys have worn so many different hats that I really don't know where to start sometimes. Because you've coached, I mean, you were an FFA for a long time, involved in that, a teacher, a lot of jobs in the school system.
Well, that's true. You know, I was thinking on the way out here before I was PA announcer, I was either working the gate or at one time they wanted me to meet the visiting football teams coming in, show them where to go, lock the doors at halftime, open them up for them if they wanted to come back up the hill to the – at that time they had to come all the way back up that hill to the high school. And just to be quite honest, a lot of them didn't want to come back up that hill at halftime.
Well, looking back the earlier on the show, I kind of wish I'd asked Earl a history question. You know, since he was my history teacher back in the day. So I should have pulled out a really good one and asked him. But you and I actually used to do ball games on the radio together.
I don't know what year, but yeah. We did do ball games on the radio. We did football games. We did basketball games. Traveled to a lot of away games and used to set up that equipment. Uh-huh. And, of course, I did it a few years ago, too, to help out during the COVID year. And I noticed things were a little bit different because you use a cell phone instead of the older equipment.
Don't
that
have
you
to
have.
Plug in someplace.
You don't have to plug in, and then if something happens, you're trying to find what came unplugged.
Right.
Where did we lose power? But
it's a little different now, but it's basically the same thing. It's still calling a game. And when I was doing ball games on the radio, I always thought the press box at Tiger Stadium was a great place to watch the game, and you get to see it from that view as the PA guy.
It is. It's a long way from the field, but you are up high. I told somebody, like the Union County game the other night, I had a very difficult time reading their numbers. And I think it's when they put them on over those pads, especially in the front, you know, it crunches. And so it's hard to tell if it's a 6, 8, or a 9. And they had a 6, 8, and a 9, and that makes it difficult. Of course, you always have a spotter.
Yeah.
And I've had a number of spotters over the year. You know, Anthony Stallings has done it. Darren Smiley's done it. Nicky Dunbar is doing it now. And then I've had some people to, you know, just do a game or two when one of those guys couldn't be there. But the spotter kind of looks at the play with binoculars and kind of calls a number. And then usually during the game, I'm able to memorize the name with the number, even of the opposing team, and you don't have to look it up all the time. And then that's also great because it gives you, if somebody ever says, hey, you missed some numbers, I can say, well, it was a spotter. You can blame it on the spotter.
Well, sometimes even down on the sideline, it's tough to tell numbers, especially if you get somebody with a weird font on their jersey or whatever, and the numbers look a little different. And if somebody's wearing light blue on white, that's tough.
The color schemes have a lot to do with that. I used to – Webster County was one that was I always thought was difficult because they had a color that it was so hard to read the numbers. And then I got to thinking, well, they may do some of that on purpose.
I've always wondered that myself, if that – make it a little more difficult to scout you.
Usually for Caldwell, you know, the blue and the gold and the white and the blue and their color schemes, you know, you can pick them out pretty quick and know who's doing what. But the press box, it is a good place. You know, you're in the dry.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times, it hadn't been bad this year, but a lot of times when you get August, if we had played a week earlier at home, it would have been brutal.
Yeah. It can get warm up there.
I have requested the last several years when it was going to be really, really hot, hey, get up there and get those windows open up. Yeah. And then they've started putting some fans in there to move some air around. Yeah. So it's a lot better. And then with opposing people, they say, man, are they ever going to put air in here? And I said, yes, they're going to have it in about middle of October.
Yeah. It always cools down later in the season up there, so that's always good. So when did you come up with your phrase, get on your feet, Tiger fans? How did that kind of come about? Because that's what everybody remembers, you know.
I honestly don't know. It was probably one of those things. I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, the game's fixing to start. We need to try to get the crowd into it. And it's just one of those things that I probably did once, and people responded to it, so I kept doing it. Yeah. You know, I sometimes don't do it necessarily a lot, but if it's a big fourth down, I'll say something, or a big third down for us, you know, and I've sat there and thought, now the crowd ought to be doing this. They ought to be getting into it, but, sometimes it can, just a little encouragement for people to get up and go, and people like the first down Tigers And of course, it's a lot more fun to yell touchdown, Tigers.
Right.
and I have thought there's only been one time that, and actually it was just a few years ago, but you know, a PA announcer can be flagged by referees.
Yeah.
And I never have been flagged. Yeah. They did send a message up to the coaches, and they won. Two or three years ago, and said, tell the PA announcer not to be talking while the game is being played.
While the ball's in play.
But I usually do some talking, you know, when a quarterback's dropped back. You know, I'm just back to pass, and, you know, when it goes down the field or whatever, if it's caught. And, of course, if a kid's broke one for a touchdown, especially for us, I'm going to ham it up a little bit. So.
Well, the PA announcer is an important position, and it's one of those that you don't realize how important it is until there's not one there. You know, it's like in basketball. I love it when there's a PA announcer and they say who makes the basket, who's shooting free throws. When it's not there, you really miss it.
That's true, and over the years when I was ag teacher and FFA advisor, you know, I had to be gone. The national convention was in November. So I missed some games when we were out in Kansas City fixing to come back or whatever. And then there's been a few times that I've been sick. There's been a few times that I couldn't be there. And I have had people that have filled in, said, man, people don't realize how hard of a job this is. And it is. I mean, it's kind of tough. And then you get bombarded sometimes with people wanting you to make – just general announcements because it's out there, and you have to kind of be careful on that. being in the school system, I kind of knew that, and I guess now it's just one of those things that we just go. And of course now it used to be just a microphone. Now there's a pretty big sound system up there, and every now and then there's some CDs to be played, and sometimes it's kind of difficult to figure out exactly which button to hit to get it to start at the right time. So there's a lot more to it than people realize.
Now, I remember one night you were doing PA at a basketball game. You've introduced both team starters and said, "Everyone please stand for the national anthem," only the national anthem never played.
Yeah, we had a cassette tape, and a lot of people might be saying a cassette tape, but we had a cassette player there, and I don't know if the tape got turned over. I don't know why it didn't play, but I hit it, and it didn't play. And Sue Lynn Gardner, she was the bookkeeper, and she said, "You're going to have to sing it. You're going to have to sing it. You're going to have to sing it."
So she was actually prodding you on a little bit.
She was encouraging me, and I don't know what she thought I was going to do. And actually, I guess I did, but I just kind of led the crowd, and actually the crowd joined in really well.
You know, we've actually had that a couple of times where even if somebody forgets the words, everybody just starts singing, and it ends up being a better moment than if everything would have worked properly.
You know, the year that I did the radio when COVID was going on, I'm not sure who we were playing, but something happened and somebody on the visiting audience started, and they could really they could sing, and it was a good moment. It was a good moment. You know, there wasn't a gym full of people, but it was a good moment.
Well, it takes a lot of guts, though, to stand there and sing, because you had the mic, you know. It's one thing to stand there and sing if you're just one person out of 500 in the crowd, but you actually had a mic in front of you.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed. I've never been asked to do it again.
Well, there's actually a guy over in Hopkinsville. I can't remember his name. He's an official, does a lot of volleyball. His name escapes me right now, but he does the PA for Hopkinsville basketball, and you know, he'll say, "Please stand for the national anthem," and then he just sings it, and he does a really good job.
Well, I'm probably not going to add that in, but you know, if something were to happen, I think it's important to have the national anthem before a game when you got a crowd of people there like that. And it was just one. I did have people that night tell me it was a very patriotic moment. I had some other people, you know, jokingly, you know, hand me a quarter and say, "Here, this is what I thought it was worth," joking with me. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And sometimes it can be stressful, you know, when you're reading all the homecoming information and, you know, names. I do not like butchering somebody's name.
And nobody wants to get their – you don't want to get anybody else's name wrong, and you don't want to hear your name wrong. So.
And, you know, when I was a teacher, and I still read over it, but when I was a teacher, if I read over it, sometimes I could catch a mistake, you know, that somebody had put in just by typing. Well, now I don't really know some of that.
All right.
And, you know, a lot of times I have read and it'll say a he when it should have said a she or something of that nature. And you know, you don't like to make a mistake like that, but you're going to make a mistake if you do it very long.
Well, and sometimes somebody will slip you something cold and you haven't had a chance to read it, and so you're trying to read it as you go along, and that's always difficult, too.
That's tough. That's tough. But we do have a beautiful stadium out there, you know, in the press box. We were talking about the view the other night. And, of course, when that sun's going down, you know, it's kind of tough shining right in there at first right on you. But then after the sun's down and the lights are on, it's a good place to be.
I've said several times that I'm not sure we always realize that or realize what a good football stadium we have. When visitors come here to watch games, especially for the first time, they will comment on how nice the stadium is and how nice the campus is. And, of course, you're kind of on the hillside there, so you have that really nice view of everything.
Well, being in the school system and going to a lot of other places, I've always been proud of our campus and some of the facilities that we have. We may not be the biggest in the whole area, but what we have is pretty nice.
Yeah.
and you know that field, our football field, is nice. And I hear people talking about playing soccer that they love playing in the old Butler Stadium
inside the
wall. And in fact, I've heard people from other places say they wished every football game they had played had been in the Butler Stadium.
Oh, yeah. We're talking this morning with Frankie Brown. We need to get to a break on the show, but we'll come back and have more. Stay with us here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
At Little River Vet Clinic, Doctors Todd and Joanna Freeman have the experience to take care of your small and large animals. Follow Little River Vet Clinic on Facebook and find them on Glenwood Mill Road in Cadiz.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast. We have an overnight low of 62 degrees, partly cloudy skies. By this afternoon, it's going to be sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, mostly clear, low around 58. Then on Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. And Friday night, mostly clear, low around 58. Absolutely gorgeous weather to get us through the rest of this work week. But back to right now, an overnight low of 62. By this afternoon, sunny and 81.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family. Because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances. Because you're like family, and family is everything.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We're talking with Frankie Brown, Caldwell County Football Hall of Famer now. And Frankie, I guess you guys will be honored at the Trigg County game a little bit later. We'll have all the Hall of Famers in, so that'll be a good night at Tiger Stadium.
I think it will, and I like that they're honoring the yes. two championship teams Friday night. I think it's nice to do that. And yes, that Trigg County game, that's the last game of yes. the season, isn't it? So it'll be senior night, I'm assuming. So there should be a good crowd there, and it'll be a good night. Hopefully it'll be good weather.
Yeah. When you look back, and like I said, you coached a little bit. You've been around sports. You've been the PA announcer. Could you even begin to figure out how many Tiger ball games you've been to through the years?
I really don't know. I don't even know where to start on how many games that I've been to. I started going to Tiger games when I was in high school. I was in the marching band and then pep band. I always tried to get in a pep band because they'd get you in the door
yeah.
free. and just enjoyed going. It was a big event. I enjoyed going and supporting the teams, knew most of them. And then teaching, when you know the kids, it means a lot, yeah. I think, to them that people go and support them. But I like going to all the sports. I don't go to quite as many of them now as I used to, but, I've been to soccer, been to baseball, been to volleyball, girls softball, been to just about yeah. all of them.
I've tried to think about that myself a couple of times, about how many games I've been to, but I'm not even really sure how to start adding that up.
It would be difficult. You know, football, it's kind of
right.
set on a Friday, and I know there's probably been some games at other times, but when you think about some of the other sports, they're scattered out mm-hmm. through the week, and it'd be very hard to keep up with.
Well, that's like having a long football string. A lot of people have had those at different times, and you can kind of do that because it is once a week. You can kind of plan, okay, on Friday night I'm going to the football game. It's tougher to do for baseball, softball, volleyball, soccer, basketball, because a lot of times you have girls and boys, like in basketball and soccer, playing in different places at the same time.
Well, back when we were doing radio, and it didn't happen very much, but there was a few times. I can remember one time you went somewhere and did an away game, I think, girls.
Yeah.
Because we had a boys' game at home.
Yeah.
And it seems like that you went and did a girls' game at like 6 and then threw it back to me at the cab building, and I did the boys' game at home, or maybe I did the girls' game. Yeah. I can't remember who we did, but it didn't happen much, but I know it happened at least a couple of times.
We've done that a couple of times here recently with COVID. Game times kind of got moved around a little bit, and so we had some 6 o'clock games and some 7:30 games, and we were able to send one crew to one game and one crew to another game and do it, which is fun, but it's also a little hectic trying to logistically work out everything and get one game on and then, you know, transfer from that game to the next crew at a different site.
And, you know, when you think about all these sports taking place, you know, it takes a lot to pull those events off. And you may not realize that if you just go, but, you know, there's people working the doors, working the gate. Mm-hmm. At a football game, you got people running the chains on the sideline. You've got people working locker rooms, getting people in and out. They try to keep those. So there's just a lot going on.
I guess at football, there's probably about 3 different gates you have to have staffed for that.
Yeah, it used to be, I remember, Todd, when Tiger Stadium didn't have the fence around it. And every now and then, they would just – I've just been over there on the hill before and just trying to catch people as they come in, because a lot of them would park over on the road or at the high school and walk in, and we didn't even have anybody over there because we didn't have a place where they had to come to.
Well, and the athletic department, that's a big thing now. We're always adding sports. There's more kids involved in the sports system now, in the sports program. So you're right, it does logistically take a lot of people to pull off a ball game.
It does, and I don't know that people realize that, but a lot of people give a lot of time to get that taken care of, and they do it for the kids.
Yeah. Well, I know you'll be on the mic Friday night, and we've got the 1998 state champs, the 1963 state champs, so that should be a big night out at Tiger Stadium.
I think it will be. Of course, I know some of the 63 team. I wasn't even alive when they won that game. But coaching out there, like Mr. Stevens, was my driver's ed teacher. And then he was assistant principal and a teacher when I was there as a teacher. I know there's other folks that I know and know most of the 98 team.
Yeah.
And I know all of the 98 team. And a lot of good memories of that year. I can still remember, I think it was, we beat them 60-30.
Hancock County.
Hancock County. We were playing them. And, you know, early on that game was pretty tight. And we kind of blowed it open. And I remember a helicopter being over the field when the second half started. And Gerald Fuqua broke about a 60-something yard run, and some TV crew had that picture from up top. That was pretty neat.
I think it was Channel 14 out of Evansville.
It was an Evansville station.
Yeah. So, that was pretty cool. I remember that game because we trailed 7-0 and 14-7, and I wondered if we were ever going to be able to stop Hancock County because Travis Atwell was their quarterback. He was later Mr. Football, not that season, but I think the next season, and went on to play. He was at Kentucky, but he had gotten hurt and never got to play at Kentucky. I think he went to Miami of Ohio or someplace like that and played. Maybe I'm getting that confused, but yeah, he went on to play college football and ended up at Kentucky, but couldn't play for whatever reason. So he was a heck of a football player in high school.
He was, and in that game, it seems like, I may be wrong, seems like Kelly Tinsley got a safety.
Yeah.
Or sometime in that game, and from that point on, things changed a little bit. So.
Yeah. I think Gerald ran for about 270 yards that night.
Of course, the crowd, you know, big crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, that team, in hearing Mr. Stevens talk about the 63 team and talking about they didn't get a lot of respect all the way up to even winning the state championship. The 98 team, the best I remember, wasn't picked to win hardly any games in the playoffs.
Yeah. Made it all the way, though.
So, made it all the way. And
you never know. You just never know when that's going to happen.
That's why you play the game on the field and not on paper.
Well, Frankie, congratulations on being inducted into the Kaw County Football Hall of Fame, and I appreciate you coming in and being on the show this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the honor that they're giving me by putting me in the Hall of Fame.
That's Frankie Brown, again, member of the Kaw County Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. We thank Earl Stevens, who was a quarterback on the 1963 Kaw County State Champs. Again, football tomorrow night, Graves County, 7 o'clock is kickoff. The reception for the two state championship teams will begin about 6 o'clock over by the football fieldhouse, and we'll recognize those teams during the game as well. So that's going to wrap us up for this week's edition of the Sideline Report. Thanks a lot for being with us. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. You've been listening to the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.